Hi, I'm Thesia Ellis, and this is This Grandma's Life podcast. I don't know how long this one's going to be, and yes, those of you who are on video can see that I've got my robe on, and I don't care. It is cold. Most of you guys know that we've been going through a winter storm. Most of the country's been going through a winter storm, and when you are on top of a hill that with basically no windbreaks in an old trailer house, it is drafty in here. And so I've even, but in deference to you guys, I turned off the heater that's blowing on my feet. Oh, that's been wonderful though. So I'm gonna be ready to turn that back on. So this is episode 12, December 23rd, 2022. Baby, it's cold. That's the name of this episode. I'm going to start out with my quote of the day. And this one, as you know, I always find something is cool because I do have a lot of quotes, but sometimes you can go through them and go through them and you go, eh, none of those fit. But then you hit one, you go, oh, this fits me so bad for the day and that what I'm dealing with. So the quote of the day is, at the end of each day, you should play back the tapes of your performance. The results should either applaud you or prod you. Jim Rohn. And I won't lie, the first time I read it, I thought, when I read the results, should either applaud you or what was the other word I had come across? It was, I don't know. It wasn't good because I've been feeling kind of not good about our situation in this house. Especially, I really did try hard to get us prepared for it, but I haven't felt good about it. So I have been playing back tapes. What should I have done differently? Can I do now to get us through another round? Because guys, we usually don't get this weather until January or February, and it's December. So, as I said, at the end of each day, you should play back the tapes of your performance. The results should either applaud you or prod you. Jim Rohn. Okay, I'm going to show you my product of the day, and I don't know if it shows up back. Grandma's Homestead calendar. And I have to admit, there's some mistakes in it, but I'm really proud. That's Daisy and Wattles when we first got them. This is like in April when the peach tree goes. Oh, that's a picture of my beautiful granddaughter. Now that one, I have to admit, y'all might not be so interested in that one. And this is with my birds, but I have another baby I got to show you too because she's so cute. Oh, see, here's another picture of Daisy and Wattles when they got a little bit older. And I got a picture of Mopar, my cat. This, guys, this cutie is my newest grandbaby. She just turned a year old last month. And I love this picture of her. So this is what you got. I mean, yeah, it's got a couple of grandkid pictures in it, but a lot of it, most of it is what's going on the farm. So that's kind of what I'm trying to, and I'm selling them for $15. If you're interested, send me a direct message on any of my platforms, and we'll work out something for you. Farm happenings. Oh my gosh, guys, is it cold or what? I think it was 0 degrees. Now I know you guys like Toolman Tim up in Canada and Minnesota. You guys are used to this, but we don't have the infrastructure to be used to this ourselves. And even though I knew it was coming, you can only do so much to be prepared. I had spent a lot of the week getting straw, getting it laid down, trying to get things set up, and trying to make sure that I had everything I needed for all my animals to stay safe. And it was kind of interesting because yesterday morning at 4:30 in the morning, I heard the first gust of wind, and it was like, oh crap, there it is, it's here. And then I realized, so we've got the John Suskovich style chicken tractors, and I've got one of those inside with next to the mobile egg unit out there with my adult chickens and the pullets that are mixed with them now. And for some stupid reason, at 4:30 in the morning, and I heard that first gust of wind, I thought, oh crap, I have not anchored that John Suskovich style chicken tractor. In our wind, it has been known to blow and scoot across the ground. So I went and got my coveralls on, and it was kind of interesting because I think it said it was like 40 degrees, but it was dropping fast. I think just in the 20 minutes as I out that I was outside, it had dropped from 40 to 30, and it was like a misty rain, but it was blowing hard and it was freezing on my glasses. But I knew I had to go out there So I went out, and of course I scare my dogs. Anytime you go out in the middle of the night with your headlamp on and the dogs are coming running, I have to say, it's me, you know. So I went out there, and I had already put straw all over the chick inside of the chicken tractor because I was thinking that was when I was thinking that's where the pullets were going to be, and they were not. And so they were all underneath the mobile egg unit. So I'm thinking, crap, I'm not sure what to do here. And so they did not even use a straw. So I got to look in, and I found a piece of plywood that I could put up for a windbreak for the chicken tractor and set that up. And I felt pretty good about that. I was going to go check on the pigs, but I knew they had a good safe place to be. And if I went over there with my lights and my dogs, then I'd wake up the pigs, and I didn't want to have to do that for the to them at 4:30 in the morning. So I felt pretty good. I just knew that I would not sleep knowing that that chicken tractor was not anchored down. And yes, I did anchor it down anyway because I didn't want to blow it on top of anything else. So I got the chicken tractor anchored down. I got a windbreak put up with the for the birds, and I don't know. I felt better about it. I could go back home, and I did eventually go back to sleep, but. I won't lie, in this trailer house, mobile home, whatever you want to call it, the wind you hear is popping and groaning, and it's noisy, and it's actually very upsetting to me to hear all the noises this place makes whenever the wind blows. So, but I did eventually manage to get back to sleep, and so far, we're the very next day in the afternoon, and so far my animals are doing pretty good. So that makes me feel a little bit better. But and I think it was zero this morning, and I mean we're still under a wind chill warning even this afternoon, and not the wind's not blowing like it was, thank God. But you know we still got a wind chill warning, and so far as I can tell, all my animals are still alive and kicking. Even my turkeys, you know, they always tell me how stupid turkeys are, and I have not had, you know, because I'm always being told that turkeys look up at the rain and drown themselves. Well, I've had a few turkeys, and none of them have done that. But I did notice at 4:30 this morning that they were not necessarily up underneath where I had a place for them to get up underneath to get in out of the weather. They were out in their pen getting rained and sleeted and snowed on. So, but even then, they look cold, but they look like they're handling the weather pretty good. So that's my farm happenings, trying to keep the animals safe. I guess I could, yeah, all the birds are doing well. The ducks, I don't know, the ducks are kind of interesting. You know, the birds will go inside and they'll roost and stuff like that, but at 4:30 in the morning, they're all quacking and running around and acting like, oh my gosh, what's this woman doing here? You know, so, but I've watched them in thunderstorms before, and they'll just be right out in the thunderstorm, flapping their wings and taking in the rain and the wind. So I don't know, it's kind of interesting. My three things for the day are: number one was to keep the animals safe, and so far so good. Number two is video work. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm feeling so bad. I was going to do a podcast the other night, and I realized that my hard drive was almost completely full of videos. And what I do is once I get them edited and I get them posted and the various places they're supposed to be, I have an external hard drive that I can put them on. Well, I've got so much footage between this channel, this Grandma's Life podcast. I have, you know, because I put that on YouTube, and I've got Grandma's Homestead. That's my main YouTube channel. And then I've got the Farm Animal Life. And I haven't posted anything on that for a while, but I've got a lot of footage. You know, it just takes a while because I think so. Just the footage of that is like 45 minutes to an hour of stuff of just my animals. So I've got a lot of footage just between those three things that are taking up a lot of hard drive. So I had yesterday, instead of posting a podcast, I started working on getting some of my videos up and going, and I've got a long way to go, but I made some progress, and that's what needed to happen. And my three things, the third thing is this Grandma's Life podcast. So we're doing pretty good so far. All right, what I'm reading, I am on go I'm going to take you on the last installment of Dan Brown's Origin, and then we'll be done with this book. And so I can see some of the things. So you can, I don't know, because like I said before, I love my novels. Love them. I love learning things. I mean, I read good for me books too, and I learn stuff from them too. But I don't know, just because I think when you read good for me books, you're concentrating and you're studying and you're going in depth, and that's okay. But like sometimes when you're reading a novel, you're enjoying the story, you're enjoying the movement of the story, and then there's a little tidbit or a snippet of something that catches your eye. You go, oh yeah, that's interesting. So this one is on page 581. It says, if the laws of physics were so powerful that they can create life, who created the laws? So I thought that was interesting, thought-provoking if nothing else. And this is from the computer Winston. It is quite common for humans to sentimentalize the relationship with synthetic intelligence. Computers can imitate human thought process, mimic learned behaviors, simulate emotions in appropriate moments, and constantly improve their humanness. But we will all do this simply to provide you with a familiar interface through which to communicate with us. We are blank slates until you write something on us, until you give us a task. So I thought that was interesting. Like basically what he's saying is we try to humanize computers, but they're just blank slates and they're just doing what we're telling them to do. Okay, tyranny and oppression are no match for compassion. That the fanatical shouts of the bullies of the world are invariably silenced by the unified voices of decency that rise up to meet them. This one's on page 603. When I witness the precision of mathematics, the reliability of physics, and the symmetries of the cosmos, I don't feel like I'm observing cold science. I feel as if I'm seeing a living footprint, the shadow of some greater force that is just beyond our grasp. And then sometimes all you have to do is shift your perspective to see someone else's truth. Let me look at these last two, see if they're worth going and get it, because I had more than I thought I did. Okay, let's try it anyway. This is on page 630. It is very obvious to me, Benya said as they walked, that there was only one way Christianity will survive the coming of age of science. We must stop rejecting the discoveries of science. We must stop denouncing the provable facts. And I have to admit, I agree with this. We must become a spiritual part of science, using our vast experience, millennia of philosophy, personal inquiry, meditation, soul searching to help humanity build a moral framework and ensure that the coming technologies will unify, illuminate, and raise us up rather than destroy us. Now, see, to me, that is powerful because I have often maintained that, yes, God has created things, but He also gave us the ability to evolve. And we can't, and I don't care what Fauci and all of his people say, it's the science. But the science is ever changing, and God is in charge of that. So this is the very last one. This is on page 632. He thought about all the religions of the world, about their shared origins, about the earliest gods of the sun, moon, sea, and wind. Nature was once the core for all of us. The unity, of course, had disappeared long ago, splintered into endlessly disparate religions, each proclaiming to be the one truth. So that's the end of Origins by Dan Brown. I just thought it was a lot of things, and they were very thought-provoking. And maybe some people think that they are controversial, and I guess they can be. But like on the one quote, it was saying that if all you do is just change your perspective a little bit. I'm not asking anybody to believe something different than what they believe, but don't be closed-minded. Don't be so caught up in the dogma of your own religion that you're not seeing a truth that God really does want you to see. So I enjoyed that book. I enjoyed being thinking and the some of the stuff that was in it. Agree or disagree, I don't care. It's up to you. All right, what's on my mind? This winter storm. Like I'm saying, I really did put a lot of thought and effort. And I asked, I really wanted to have a wood stove put in. But as you guys know, I'm in the middle of a bathroom remodel. And I've got holes in the floor where the plumbing is supposed to be. So, I mean, we got them covered up, don't get me wrong, but I do have holes in the floor on the north end of the house. where the plumbing was, and I had wanted to have a wood stove put in 2 or 3 months ago. I actually bought and brought home a used wood stove, and it's still sitting in the front yard. And we are okay. I have a propane tank out front. I think it's 500 gallons, something like that. And the only thing it runs is my cook stove. Everything else in this house is electricity, is electric run, electric heat, electric air, lights, and all that other stuff. So I've known all along that my weaknesses are in electricity. And so I really want to get the wood stove in. And yeah, they tell you that if you live in a mobile home that you can't get insurance on a mobile home with the wood stove in it. Well, you know what? This is a $2,500 home. I don't know that we're going to be able to ever get it insured anyway. And it's $2,500. If it burns down, I will do my best to save what's in it, and then I will start over. I've started over again. I've never had a fire, but I have started over more than once in my life. It's like I have talked about in one of my recent podcasts, and the pain of starting over. I'm not advocating not having insurance. I'm not advocating doing things that will make your place burn down. But I am saying that it is what it is. I'm going to do what I have to do. And I had hoped to get at least get the wood stove. And I tried to keep it in perspective this morning, because I was pretty low this morning. I was feeling pretty rough. I was cold. Well, we're up to 58 degrees in here. It was 49 this morning in this room, and it's in the upper 40s and early lower 50s, and all my heaters are running, and it's still that cold in here, and I'm going to have a tremendous electric bill. My most recent electric bill for a little trailer house, even with the skirting going, it was almost $400. So, I'm struggling. I'm expending the energy to try to stay warm, and I'm cold anyway, and I'm going to pay a fortune for this. So I was struggling this morning, and I'm better now. We went off and got some breakfast somewhere and got warm in the car and got warm in a restaurant. So my perspective's a little bit better now, but I do need to rethink things. Okay, why did I continue working on the bathroom whenever I knew that winter? I did not know that this particular storm was coming until it was already, like they said, last week. Well, that was not enough time for me to get my act together and get the wood stove in, because you know how long it's taken me to get this bathroom done. I wanted to finish the bathroom, because while this bathroom is torn apart, even though I do have access to my granddaughter's bathroom, I don't like her bathroom, and it kind of invades her privacy. So we've been showering and stuff in the barn. Now I do have the toilet still hooked up in here, but basically my bathroom's been in an unheated barn. Now, the room itself is our hidey hole, and it can be heated, but even then, it only gets up to like 50 degrees while you're trying on a regular winter day. Well, I asked Tom how. I mean, he's got a heater set up in there that's running all the time too, and he said that the water in the toilet had a ring of ice around it. So even with the heater running in the barn, in the heated bathroom, my toilet was trying to freeze. So yeah, so I keep wanting to think I'm going to get this bathroom done so I can move on, get the wood stove done, and I might put a closet in over here in this one corner where the hot, no, it's not a hot tub, it was a garden tub. I'll probably put some sort of a closet in over there. But you know what? I'm done. I got to do some repairs on a few things, but I'm going to start doing what I need to do. And if it takes me 20 years and I'm 190 years old, I'm going to work toward the house that I want. I did not want this house. I mean, I didn't want to live it. It was a deal as I was okay with living in the camper for a while, but not for 7.5 years plus. So therefore, I want my motivation was to get us out of the camper. And so when Tom brought this mobile home, it sat for over 3 years before we even did with it again. So all of this has been ongoing for way longer than it needed to. And now it's kind of like in the ball's in my court, and I've got to get it done. And I'm doing my best, but I'm not getting it done. So I've got to think about, okay, where do I want to, where are, do I expend my energy? And how can I prevent us from being like this in the future? So that's what's kind of going through my head right now. I'm getting there. I will get there. I am so very slow on that. And that was part of what my main subject is too, is, where did I lack in preparation? Where did I lack? I don't think, maybe I think one thing I should have done is, especially since I found out that that my pullets were not staying in the chicken tractor anymore, I should have been training them to go into the mobile egg unit. And I need to do that. I need to start going out there in the evenings and catching them while they're asleep and putting it in the mobile egg unit so that they can get used to being in there. And so I think that was my biggest, well, besides the wood stove. I mean, as far as my animals goes, that's one thing I needed to do. Where have I lacked focus? Where should I be focusing? Because, if you think about it, what was it like John Willis says, it's wherever your eyes go, wherever you're thinking about. I'm not quoting it properly at all, but I'm giving you the perspective, is that's where you will be going. Well, if you're looking behind you, if you're looking at what you don't want instead of what you do want, it's not always going to put you in the right direction. So what I do want is a house, and I have a specific design in mind. I have specific ideas for my mind, and I keep losing my focus on that. I keep putting it off in an effort to provide a functional place for us to live. And that's all it is functional, and it is barely functional. So it's going to take me a while, but I am going to have the house I want, and it's going to be energy efficient, and even have the possibility of even if the electricity goes off and everything else goes off, I can still function properly in this home, and I'm going to have it nice and pretty too. I'm hoping. I'm not very good at pretty. Part of my focus my whole life has been functional and get things to right, so to work right. So I'm gonna have to train myself with the beauty part of it too. I mean, it's in there, it's in my head. I've got beautifying plans for this property. I just got to implement it. So that's where I've lacked focus. And what would I change, and how would I change it? Well, that's pretty in depth. I'm not exactly sure. For the future, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I want a house. So what are you going to do with, you have to still take care of what you got in front of you as you got your focus on what you want to do in the future. So yeah. So that's what I was trying to think of on that one. And it was, I've got a lot to learn. I really was down this morning. I didn't want to get out of bed because it was cold. Even the bed was a little bit cold. It wasn't that bad. It's kind of crazy because I was telling Tom, I said, if it was 50 degrees and the sun was shining, I'd be just fine out in it and doing things, and maybe with a light shirt. And here I am with long johns and sweatpants and a denim shirt and a house coat, struggling to stay warm. So I don't know what the difference is. I don't even, but I, and it might be psychological, but I don't think it's, I don't know what the deal is, but I don't know. Oh, my story of the day. Okay, last time I told you about the float in the parade. We struggled with that too. I really, because this was our first annual. It was a holiday festival thing. They had jump houses or whatever you call those. They had vendors. They had food trucks, and they were going to have their first annual Christmas parade. And I wanted us as our church to have a float. And part of it is because after COVID and so many other things, and I believe that people's fear of COVID or just the virus itself had a lot of people afraid. And we had a pretty thriving church, like so many other churches, and we still have a nice church, don't get me wrong. And it's good, but there's been lack of attendance. And as part of it is, a lot of them are getting older, and a bunch of them can't even, they're getting so old that they can't drive anymore. They can't get to church. And so we do the Facebook page for, it goes Facebook Live, and those who are technologically advanced enough can figure out how to get onto Facebook can actually watch us and stuff. But at the same time, we have a good youth group, especially for as small as our church is and as small as our town is. It's a good youth group, but the young adults, the middle-aged adults or whatever, everything in between, that's kind of where we're lacking. So the pastor was kind of struggling with wanting to with the attendance of the church, or just being able to reach out to people and stuff. And so I had wanted, well, first of all, I wanted to be encouraging, and I opened my mouth and said, "We should do here's a parade. We need to represent. We need to be there and do what we can." And well, after I said that, I found out, well, there's some insurance issues, and there's we don't know if we can, and it does go through Foyle, who has a dog problem, and half of the route's not even going to have electricity on the no lights, and I don't know. It was kind of discouraging, honestly. But we decided, Tom, and I was really grateful that Tom took up the challenge and had ideas in mind. And in the end, there was another couple that was very helpful in helping us get things put together. We had straw and we had hay and we had lights, and Kinsey came. Thank God Kinsey came so that she can help do the banners on the side and stuff. We ended up with a pretty respectable trailer, or a float, and so we were pretty proud of it. And but even while we were putting all this together, we had no idea how the parade was going to be. And I think, I can't remember what somebody said, that I think the population of our town itself was like 200. I mean, there's always more people. We live outside of the city limits and stuff. So, and I think they say, I think our school district has 500 kids in it, something like that, which I thought was, I don't know, it was a pretty good size, but you could tell I came from very rural Oklahoma. I went to one school when I was a kid that had 80 kids, K through 8th grade, and you had to go to a whole nother town to go to school because the high school had burned down in the 40s and there was no point in rebuilding, they said. So, yeah. So, just to give you kind of a perspective, that literally the population of Foyle is something like 200. And we got the float done. It's time to go down to Annie's Diner. But that was a starting place. It's a mile trek, and so it goes from Annie's Diner all the way up Andy Payne Boulevard, which was old Route 66, so that's pretty cool too. And then it ends up there by Andy Payne Park, and Andy Payne apparently was a long distance runner back in the day, and that's the thing of our town. Okay, so we show up to Annie's Diner, and there are floats and cars and entries all over the place. It was so heartwarming to see the turnout. And I watched a video later the next day that they had posted on Facebook for it, and I counted 35 entries for this little town to participate in this first annual Foyle Christmas parade. And then what was kind of interesting too is our pastor came too. Now, he comes and goes. He does as much as he can. He's a good pastor. I really like him. Even whenever he's had some pretty serious health problems off and on the last few years, and even when he doesn't feel good, he's doing his very best to be there. This truly is his calling, and he's riding on the float with us. And by the time we had done the track, now Tom and I walked behind because that's part of the rules for the insurance. You had to have two adults walking. So I was really proud for Tom that, because he's not equipped to walk any distance. And in fact, I kind of lost him at one point because he got hung up talking to somebody and couldn't get caught up. But we did the float, and by the time it was over, the pastor's going, "This is definitely on the itinerary for next year. This was really great." So Tom and I really felt good about the efforts that we put into it, for because there's more than once we're going, "Oh, should we just give it up?" But I had even told the pastor, I said, "Even if I can't have a float, if the insurance for our church won't let us have a float, I'm going to get some sort of pipe. I'm going to throw a sheet over it, and I will write Foyle Baptist Church, and I will walk it if I have to walk it by myself." Of course, any of you who know me at all knows that yes, I am that hard-headed, that I am that persistent. So I'm really grateful that the float turned out as well as it did. I'm really grateful that we had a good time. It was a good time. It was fun to, and we teased because, okay, well, I'm talking about the population of Foyle, 200 something. If you got 35 entrants, who's gonna be left to stand on this side of the road? And we actually had a pretty good turnout. And it kind of ended up that there was another town or two that was nearby that they not only did they put entries into the parade, but that a lot of the people who from those towns came and stood on the side because it was kind of cold. I think it was in, I can't remember. I think it was above freezing, but it was pretty breezy. I was just above freezing, I think, in the 30s while we were walking, which it didn't bother me. It was good, because when you're walking, you're expending energy. It probably was cold if you're sitting on a float, though. One way or another, it was a complete success. I'm grateful for Tom for sticking with it and helping us get done. I'm grateful that we stuck to our guns and got it done. And I'm really grateful that it turned out as well as it did. So that's my story of the day. I'm really proud of it, and I'm looking forward to next year already. We'll have to see. It's kind of funny. You always say, "Oh, next year we'll do this, next year we'll do that," and then a year later you go, "What was we doing? What were we so excited about?" So my income producing activity of the day is the Fold card. Now this is that prepaid debit card that I do like it. I don't, some of these guys that I listen to on podcasts and stuff, they're really into it. Of course, they can spend a little bit more money than I do too. But if you sign up with my link that's on down in the description, you can set you up a it's the prepaid debit card. You can do stuff online too, so you don't even have to have a physical card. But it's a lot easier to have a physical card for other reasons too. So, but every time you spend, it doesn't cost you anything else. It doesn't cost you anything extra at all. But you go to the store. Like today, we went to a diner and had breakfast, and I paid with the Fold card. And then it tells me you get spin, like spinning the wheel to see what you get and stuff. And you can actually get free spins. And if you go with just the straight, what they say, you get 1% of Satoshis. So that's just a minuscule piece of Bitcoin, and it's not worth much, but it kind of it stacks up after a while, adds up. And so, or you can spin the wheel, and I think they've got a special going for the month of December where they're actually a lucky spinner will get a whole Bitcoin. But other than that, you get 1 or 2% of Satoshis and stuff. And my stuff is stacking up pretty good, and I'm getting pretty happy with it. Even when you go about once a week, I try to, yeah, I look up and see what it converts to. Because okay, right now Bitcoin and everything else is low, but eventually it will go up, and this will be worth something. So right now you're getting your rewards at a lower rate, but it'll be worth more down the road, and you won't have to have spent any more to do that. So it's a cool deal. Go look down the link below for the Fold card to get your prepaid debit card that helps you earn some Satoshis and get into the Bitcoin thing. All right, guys, I'm going to get ready to go here where I can be found. I am on Grandma's Homestead, my YouTube channel. I also have a Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I have not put out anything recently. I will though. I've got plenty of footage for that too. I am on Instagram as Thesia Ellis. TikTok is at Thesia Ellis. Facebook is Thesia V. Dayhoff Ellis. MeWe, I'm Thesia Ellis. Twitter at Thesia E. So that's all I got for you guys today. I really pray that you guys are staying warm. I'm sorry that this winter storm has blown through and it caused so much grief for so many people. It's already, I think we're up to 17 degrees today. And then tomorrow it's going to be even a little bit warmer. And I think on Sunday we might get above freezing. So even though it's been the last couple of days it's been kind of miserable, it doesn't last long for us here in Oklahoma, and I'm grateful for that. So, guys, live until you die. Get up, get off the couch, find something to do. Anything, find something to do. I'm okay, or not necessarily anything. Make sure it's legal. Make sure it doesn't get you hurt. All that other happy stuff. But find something to keep you interested in life and keep you going. Like I said this morning, I was not motivated to get out of my bed, but I did. And I'm happy, I'm here, and I'm talking to you guys, and I'm going to live. So live, guys. God bless. I'll see you next time.